This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two kicking off at the Fan Run Studios. What do you got for us, headlines, Draven?
The Aaron Rodgers drama. It continues, John. Just keeps, seems like nothing to talk about, but still something little going on here or there. Still hasn't
shown up in Green Bay?
Still has not shown up in Green Bay. And then, of course, we have the match, as they're calling it. Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady versus Rodgers and DeChambeau, your boy.
I would be mad if I was a Green Bay Packers fan watching...
Watching him have fun.
Just watching him playing golf right now. Yeah, there's just something about that rubbed me the wrong way. I'd be like, okay, yeah. I don't mind if you take some time off as you figure this out, but don't be out here playing golf right now. That would make me upset.
I would agree. And probably what's making more people upset is just how he kind of keeps taking little shots at the Packers. They're having, I guess, like a little powwow, just them four talking it up, talking before the match today. And Rodgers comes in. He's wearing a shirt that says, "I'm offended." Which many people are thinking that comes from the comments over the weekend from president of the Packers, Mark Murphy, calling Rodgers a complicated fella. Now, you know, might be thinking into that a little too much, but Rodgers did have some interesting quotes as well.
So what did the Packers guy say? I mean, I know he complained about some things, but did he have a quote saying he was offended about something?
No, Mark Murphy was basically just saying he's a complicated fella.
Oh, that's
so that, that was the quote. And then people are thinking Rodgers is wearing the "I'm offended" shirt, okay. Pretty much saying, like, you know, taking aim to that. Now, maybe true, maybe not true, but he is wearing the shirt, and he did have...
Rodgers is a calculated guy.
He is. I was about to say, he does everything for a reason, it feels like. Yeah.
He's
and
a good troll.
He had some interesting quotes as well. He said one of the big ones from, just again, talking for this before this match, he said, "I think this is what this offseason has been about, just really enjoying my time, spending it where I want to spend it, and not feel like I have to go anywhere, and not feel like I have any responsibilities." So, retirement, correct? Yeah, I mean, that right. Spells retirement, right?
I don't know if he means it, but it does sound like somebody who wouldn't mind retiring. Maybe he's just telling the Packers, like, "Hey, if you don't trade me, I'm going to retire." Like, I don't think Rodgers wants to quit football already, but I do think Rodgers is probably, because, you know, wasn't that some of the initial reporting? Was that, like, his time in Green Bay's done? Are they trading him or not? Like, he'll just go play host Jeopardy and, like, retire?
Yeah, pretty much.
I think Rodgers is saying that for a reason. He's probably letting the Packers know, like, "Hey, by the way, I sound really happy here, don't I? I don't need football. My wife makes a lot of money. She's a solid actress."
This is, well... Solid, I feel, is like a strong word. Didn't we agree that she hasn't been anything in a while?
She's solid, though.
She had, like, two good movies. How solid
she's
can you get?
She's good. That Big Little Lies show on HBO is pretty big, bro. I mean, I know she's not making a lot of money, but she can get roles is what I'm saying. And maybe she's going to have even higher demand now that she's hanging out with Rodgers. Who knows?
Could see him becoming a little actor here and there, doing some cameos.
Some cameos, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Didn't he get a Game of Thrones cameo? Wasn't he in Game of Thrones?
Was he?
He was.
I think
good
he did
call,
get a cameo.
Yeah.
He was one
he
of
doing
the
in Game of Thrones.
He was one of the people in the Lannister army that ran and got, like, blown up in the fire, right? Like,
yeah, I just got
so.
Right? I mean, I'm
yeah.
Yeah.
Even like a
right.
Mets pitcher did it too.
Oh yeah, I think it was it Syndergaard that did it?
Mm-hmm.
The one they call Thor.
Yeah.
Is that Syndergaard they call
yeah,
Thor?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in it.
He wants to be Hollywood too. So yeah, maybe he'll get some cameos. I don't know.
But
I think he's trying to, like I said, send the message that he's fine. He's having a great offseason. And you know what? Football just seems kind of stupid at this point.
That's fine. Whatever. You know, cool, Aaron. That's all great. But, like, if you're a Packers fan right now, like, what the hell is this? Like, wouldn't you be like, okay, man, like, quit trolling us. Quit wearing "I'm offended" shirts. Quit with these questionable quotes. Like, just freaking retire. If you're going to retire, retire. Let's move on. Like, what are we doing? Just stringing this along. just enough, a little bit of hope for him to come back. And it's literally like, he's in Green Bay. They got a chance at the Super Bowl. If he's not, they might not even be in a playoff team. Like, how frustrating would this be? Like you said, especially watching him have goofing off in these golf matches. And, like, my goodness.
And it doubles back to, Brett Favre. There's probably still a lot of Packers fans that are like, oh, here we go again with this.
But, like, it's like
somebody yo-yo in retirement and, yo, are we going to be here? Are we not going to be here? But, again, I think Rodgers.
I think Brett was a little bit more likable, too, by the way.
Who?
Don't you think Brett was a little bit more likable than Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know. My judgment of Favre has been clouded from all of his Wrangler stuff.
His recent comments, yes. But during his playing time, I feel like he was much more likable than Aaron. Aaron comes off as a jerk, man. It's Rogers been said many
they're
times.
They're both beloved.
But Rodgers is so much better than Favre. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like that's hard.
Is he? Yeah. Is he that much better?
Yeah.
What, the Hail Marys? They both won one Super Bowl.
The lack of interceptions.
They both literally.
The lack of interceptions.
Okay, that's fine. Favre was a gunslinger, man. Like, say what you want to say about that. That's fine. But, like,
Rodgers
what,
slings a gun
success
too. He just
wise,
slings it accurately.
Success wise, what have they both done? They've literally both won a Super Bowl somewhat earlier in their career and have pretty much been doing the same thing for, what, a decade? Like, pretty much, roughly?
I feel like there weren't as many lows with the Packers teams with Rodgers as there was with Favre. I mean, I feel like there's a pretty, let's see.
And did Favre
eight
only
and eight,
get
nine,
one?
7. Not a lot, 12 winning years. I guess 4-12, 8-8.
I mean, Packers had, what?
Yeah.
Back-to-back years where they were in a lull, didn't make the playoffs with Rodgers.
4-3-1, 6-9-1. So I guess that's pretty comparable. Like I said, I just think Rodgers is so much better.
And that's fine, but I'm just saying, like, accomplishment-wise, like, you can't really say Rodgers has done that much more than Brett Favre.
No, yeah, that's fair. How many MVPs Rodgers got? What was that when he got? Was this his second or third one? Third one, they both got 3 MVPs. Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. Again, I do think Rodgers is much better. Again, the interceptions, that's hard to overlook.
Do y'all see Rodgers saying he's retired and then going like, ah, just kidding. Kind of like how Brett Favre just came right back?
No, I mean, I think either he's going to get traded or he'll
be firm.
Yeah, I mean, he might not retire at all. Like, maybe if Green Bay doesn't trade and they hold firm and he'll just show up in August to play begrudgingly and then try to get out of there next year. Or maybe he actually means it's like, nope, never playing here again. Kind of wild. Rodgers has had, what, since 2010?
Mm-hmm.
How many years would that be? 10 straight years with under double-digit interceptions?
That's pretty wild. Impressive.
Wow.
Considering of all the years of Brett Favre's career, he did that once.
Really?
Yeah. It was the 2009 year that he was so good in Minnesota. That was the only year he had less than 10 interceptions.
Wow. Just 2009.
And really, it was the only year he had I guess he had a couple of 13s early in his career. I was going to say most of them were 15, 16. And then, yeah, in 2009, you know, given Adrian Peterson, I'd imagine his attempts weren't as much as usual, or I guess they were, but even easier throws. But, yeah.
He's pretty good that year.
No, he was really good that year. No, he was really good that year. But I'm saying Adrian Peterson, I feel like, helped. But also, I mean, he was just really good. Especially because I feel like his best receiver is who? Like Sidney Rice? I mean, was that his best receiver?
Percy?
They had Percy.
I guess
so. Well.
Percy would be on the team. Which would.
Would he have been there in 09? I don't know if Percy would have been there in 09. Would he have been there in 09? Maybe.
Maybe as a rookie.
I think so.
Yeah, I was going to say, it had to be like his rookie year at best. But I feel like, wasn't he on that team that Tebow and Eric Berry, like in 09, played on?
Oh, that's possible.
I thought.
He came out in 2009. That was his rookie season.
His rookie season was 09? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Percy Harvin, Sidney Rice, pretty good duo. Any other headlines?
Yes, movie headline for you, John. You're on cloud nine over here. You got the baseball Vols doing you good. You got
the
Hawks with a big win last night.
Fast and Furious trailers keep coming out.
Oh, my God.
It looks
so
terrible.
Sick of it. You even know.
Well, I've known the whole time. It's just they're just going further and further.
What about Scream?
Yep.
Making a comeback.
Yep.
2022.
Let's go.
January 14th. Away. Fully finished. Ready to go. And the cast probably got you even more excited, didn't it?
Well, I'll gotta be honest. I had to Google half of them because they're young kids. Like, you know, Scream is kind of built around high school, college kids. And the OG cast is still back.
I was about to say, pretty much a lot of the big names returning.
Just all the big names, right? I mean, Neve Campbell,
David Arquette,
and Courtney Cox. Is that it?
Courtney.
Anybody else they mentioned on there, or is that it? I think that's the only people still alive, basically, from the...
Melissa Barrera.
I think she's...
Roger Jackson?
No, that's a new guy. I think those are all new guys. No, I'm pumped for it. I think it's the...
So what are we doing here? Are we going, like, is it a reboot, or are we, like,
well,
is it... Because, I mean, they had, what, 4 screens?
They had 4. I mean, if the original cast is in it, I would say it's a reboot. I wouldn't be surprised if they died in this one. At least a couple of them.
Is that your bold take? Wow, I don't think it's that bold. People are dying in a scary movie. Crazy.
Well, I mean, they lived through four of them. Can you name
two of them?
No, the main three: Nev Campbell, David Arquette, Courtney Cox.
There's a few that died.
Well, no, a lot of people die in them, but I'm saying the main cast. Can you give me another
little nerdy guy that kept all about scary movies? Died
Jamie
in number
Kennedy.
Two.
Yeah.
What's his name in the movie? I don't know.
You kind of look like Jamie Kennedy.
Crazy.
Oh man, if you wouldn't ask me, Randy.
Randy, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
Man, I love that movie. What a great movie series. I mean, name another horror genre tough guy that like the three main characters don't die in for four movies. That doesn't happen.
That's true. It's pretty fair.
Like Jamie Lee Curtis wasn't in all the Halloween movies,
which, by the way,
they killed her.
I guess
in one,
The Conjuring, the two main like people not
Patrick Wilson.
Yeah,
been in a couple,
that's a true story though.
Yeah.
Like, that's a true story. Like, we don't even know if those were really like ghost things that were happening there.
They could have just been on LSD or something.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Like you said, oh, big sucker, people are going to die. You know, but again, fifth movie. So I think it'll be kind of a reboot where they'll go back and then, like, you know, maybe start to have some new stars and maybe make some more sequels. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
It's going to be kind of hard to go back when everybody looks old, though, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think they're going to die. And, like, all the new people at Google are all pretty young.
Yeah.
So maybe you have, like,
Dennis Quaid's kid coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I never heard of him before.
He's from
The Boys.
He's in that show, The Boys,
and he was good in that.
I looked him up today, and, like, when I saw Quaid, I assumed he was one of them. So, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he was Dennis's kid. I'd never seen him before.
Like Meg Ryan's son, too. Like, he's got a lot of...
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of star power in his backstory.
Huh.
Yeah, Meg Ryan's
his mom. I didn't realize those two had a baby together. Hmm. Man, I'm pumped. Best horror franchise ever.
You think so?
Yeah. You got another submission? I mean, the only thing you could say is Halloween to me, but like there were so many
bad
sequels
ones.
That were so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Kind of brought it all down.
Yeah. That's the thing is, you know, all the good horror genre. I mean, The Conjuring might be the only other.
Yeah.
The only other like one you can talk about because, I mean, I haven't seen the third one yet, but the first two were solid.
You guys throw in like the Insidious movies with Conjuring because it's kind of the same.
No, I'm not. I was just talking Conjuring 1, 2, and 3. But okay. The Insidious movies, I think, are pretty well respected too.
I'd say pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy.
But I just feel like Scream is
a whole like different concept, like you said, with the whole ghost and demon stuff
I mean,
going on.
But Scream kind of reset the slasher genre. It was pretty innovative and meta, and gets a lot of respect for being like future visionaries. What would you say? Either way, I'm pumped. And the directors I like. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Ready or Not. You ever seen that Ready or Not? Where the girl marries the family, like the that owns like the board game empire.
Oh.
So they have to play a game on her wedding night, and they play hide and go seek, which basically means they have to try to kill her.
Yeah, is it Margot Robbie?
I don't think so.
It's not Margot Robbie.
It looks like Margot Robbie.
It looks like her, but yeah. The director's of that was a really good movie. That was my favorite movie from, I guess, 2019. If you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. It's really good. But they're directing this.
Tom Hiddleston, that's who it is.
Which they almost got her to star in it. That would have made me pretty excited, but they couldn't land it. She had other obligations. So I'm pumped. Thank you for the headline.
Absolutely. Speaking of just winners, real quick, did you guys see your boy, your big winner of the weekend, the guy that beat the hell out of those Nuggets fans and screamed out Suns in four?
Yep.
Apparently, D-Book tweeting out at him as well, saying need man's info, wanting to give him a...
I love it.
Give him, I guess, a free ticket to a game or something, is the goal.
He deserves one.
I'm sure he got kicked out, right?
No, they didn't do nothing to him. It looked like he...
Wait, really?
I mean, it looked like they attacked him. I mean, from the video you saw...
Well, that's fine, but like when the cops show up super late like that and they just see two guys walking away with bloody noses and dude just hyped up like that, jumping up and down, saying it's Suns and four, I'd be like, yeah, let's get this guy out of here.
Well, the thing for me is that those guys ran off, so I don't know who would have called security. Maybe the security didn't see anything. I don't know. I mean, they might have kicked him out. I don't know.
The people around him seem like they're going to be defending him.
Yeah.
Like giving him high fives and stuff.
Like Draven says, even if it's justified, you might not be able to like be busted people.
I feel like you just
stands.
Hit somebody, you're going to throw thrown out, even if it's
probably
somebody coming at you first. Some interesting news. James Harden apparently worked his hamstring through shoot around without an issue and will do the same on the court prior to tip with hopes of playing in game five tonight, John.
Let's go.
James Harden. He was literally ruled out yesterday and then went from out to doubtful. Doubtful to questionable, and that looks like he's going to give it a go.
Let's go.
Big news for the Nets.
He's gonna re-aggravate it and be out the rest of the playoffs.
Very possible. What do you think minutes wise? What are we looking at here?
I think I should have took the Nets when they were +4.5 is what I'm thinking I should have done. Now it's locked. Damn it. That's what I was thinking. We'll dive into that news. Samara Weaving. That's the girl you said looked like Margot Robbie. Love her. Wish she was in the new Scream. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, so Draven gave you the news. James Harden. Feeling good today, you said?
Apparently.
Then going to turn around and try it before the game. You can still get the Nets right now, +3.5 over on FanDuel. I mean, I feel like if James Harden plays, they're going to cover that 3.5, right?
Aren't you all a little doubtful? Like I said, like literally yesterday it was like, no way he's playing. And they're like, maybe, doubtful. And then there now it's just like all of a sudden, hey, he tested out, he's ready.
Is that what they said yesterday, or was it more like, hey, we're not going to rush him?
I saw something.
Said something about not trying to rush him.
I thought the owner basically just came out and was like, we're not going to let Kyrie's injury affect what we do with James. But, I mean, James has been day-to-day since he got hurt. It might have been
Malika
a situation.
Malika Andrews tweeted out yesterday, James Harden is also out for Game 5, the team says.
Oh, really?
Yes. The Nets will just have one of their big three, Kevin Durant.
Oh, I wish I wouldn't have taken that 3.5. This could be a situation, Draven, where they're just telling him, oh, look, he tried.
Yeah. AD.
Yeah.
Seems just a little risky, man. I mean, I could understand maybe down 2-3, but like.
Oh, man, I'm going to take my 3.5 and just hope Durant gets me. Let's go, KD. It's a legacy game, baby. Let's go.
It is.
Are you the Slim Reaper or not? All right. Let's put the Bucks to bed. Let's go, Big Blake. That's what you've been waiting on, Griffin. You see CP3 in the advancing to the conference finals? That'd be a pretty fun finals, by the way. Chris Paul versus Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Jordan. Not a lot of love lost there between those two.
I keep forgetting DeAndre Jordan's on the damn team.
Actually, there might be a lot of love lost there. Doesn't the saying imply like you used to love each other and then like there's a lot of love lost? Is that that's kind of what that implies,
yes,
right?
I would think so.
So there might have been a time that Blake Griffin and Chris Paul did love each other and there is a bunch of love lost there. Yeah. So when they say there's not a lot of love lost, aren't the best rivalries when there are a lot of love lost, though?
You would think so. Because then you're like, yeah, friends become enemies.
I mean, just going back from the beginning, wasn't that the whole thing with, like, God and the devil? Like, weren't they cool? And then all of a sudden, yeah. The devil's like, hey, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
I mean, if so facto. I mean, that's kind of what had happened. I mean, not going verbatim, but I mean, that's the genesis of
it. I quit!
Yeah, I mean, you like that, the genesis of it? Dropped it in the... But I feel like those are the best rivalries, right? Guy switches teams. Used to be friends, turn enemies.
Like LeBron Kyrie right now?
I wouldn't say that they are. I mean, I don't even think of them as great rivals. I mean, do you think of them as rivals? I mean, I know they don't
they're
like.
They're not friends.
I don't feel like Kyrie likes him by any means, but I don't think of them as rivals.
I think it'd be more like what Russ, KD.
Yeah,
Russ, KD.
Yeah, that's a better example. Yeah.
They like hated each other. Yeah, like, went at each other a couple games.
Yeah, that you know Westbrook never was good enough to do anything with it, but yeah. To me, that's a pretty good example there, Draven. When Patino was like, you know. At Louisville, Kentucky. There was love lost there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that checks out. Because sometimes it's better when you're just born to hate each other. When you've hated each other from the get-go, I guess. So you don't think James Harden plays tonight?
I think he does, but I mean, like, what are we looking at minutes-wise, man?
Yeah.
I mean, AD said he felt good. Doctors cleared him, and he literally looked like he couldn't run down the court. He couldn't make it up and down the court.
After the game, it came out that the doctors didn't really clear AD. They were just like, you're not going to make it worse, like, long term, but you're not good to go. And he's like, I'm going to go anyways. And then they're like, told you. Like, you know, it's what, like, in the movies, TV shows, you're like, well, what I know? I'm just a doctor. You know, like, that's always there's always a scene there and something, like, the doctor tells you no, and... I might be thinking of what Happy Gilmore when he gets hit in the shoulder and he's like, you should, you know, come home. We'll get you to say. He's like, no, I got to finish. Yeah, what do I know? I'm just a doctor.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's what they did to Anthony Davis. Like, no, you're not good. You're not ready. I got to play. All right, go ahead. 5 minutes in. Yeah, I can't move. Yeah, we told you. But I do think, like, even if he can give you 20 minutes, it's better than nothing, ain't it? I mean, if he can give you anything. And it's one of these legacy things, man. Like, it's kind of messed up how we do people, but Harden is not that different from Anthony Davis, right, in terms of narrative. Now, Anthony Davis wouldn't have been soft. Like, no one's ever called James Harden soft, really, except when they're calling him fat, which I guess technically is them calling him soft because, you know,
little
pudgy.
Little doughboy.
Little doughboy, as Cam puts it. Yeah, he's a little doughboy. But, like, we do the same thing at Harden about, like, playoffs, not performing when it matters. But, no, he's out there playing, but he's just not performing. I don't know if that has anything to do with him wanting to play or if they're just like, hey, this is our best chance to win a championship. Because who knows what happens next year? You're not guaranteed next year. Now, I don't know if the Nets feel that way, if they're like, oh, we'll be fine. Because it seemed like LeBron had kind of made that decision, right? Like, hey, the Lakers will be fine. We'll be back next year. As effort or lack of thereof, you know, lack thereof in games 5 and 6.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. Got a couple more years to try to do this. Maybe the Nets feel that way, too, since those guys are all kind of early 30s. But maybe, like, you know, the season goes to hell. I'm sure the Celtics thought they had some more years to contend whenever they were coming up short. Never did. I'm sure last year the Atlanta Braves thought, hey, we blew a 3-1 lead to the Dodgers. It's fine. We'll be back next year. They might not make the playoffs this year. Oof. I think somewhat similarly came about the Hawks series.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you're ahead of schedule. Yeah, but what if you don't get back here? Like, it's hard to be 2 games away from conference finals. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough to get there. The Nets maybe feel like, hey, as long as we got these three together, we'll be fine. But, you know, those aren't necessarily the three healthiest guys. Especially or most motivated guys if you had Kyrie in there. Yeah, like Kyrie could easily, you know, what was the talks before the year or during the beginning of the year? Like, Kyrie could easily retire anytime.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't that the conversation? Like, yeah.
He just doesn't really care about basketball as much.
And I do think the Nets are, you know, unique because the guy leading them kind of knows that better than anybody. Missed opportunities.
Absolutely.
Steve Nash, you know, dealt with a lot of those. Probably should have won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Face gets broken. 1 year. He gets, you know, Stoudemire suspended for a game 5 due to a late hit. And then he goes to the Lakers. Like, okay, we got a squad here now. We got Dwight Howard. We got Kobe. We got me. Ron Artest, a.k.a. Meta World Peace. Oh, nope. There goes my back.
Was he like a 7? They're 7 seed in the West, 8 seed when they...
They're 8 seed, yeah. I mean, that Kobe had to make those free throws against Golden State with a torn Achilles just to, like, lock up the 8 seed to get, I think, swept by the Spurs.
Mm.
Which, I mean, obviously Kobe wasn't playing, but got swept by the Spurs. When Nash and Howard went there, I mean, they made the sport... I'm sure you've seen the Sports Illustrated cover, right? The this is going to be fun, where they're both just, like, they're smiling, like, look at all these alley-oops. Steve Nash go throw to Dwight Howard, and, like, they played probably, like, 4 games together.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple more than that, but you get the point.
So you think he should play? You think he should?
I mean, I'm not saying he should. I mean, I don't know how he feels, but like, if it's one of those things where you're not going to get hurt worse in your career, like, you might as well try it because it's kind of the situation where, you know, like Anthony Davis, like, you couldn't really wait to come back in game 6 because if you lost that game, the season was over. Mm-hmm. If you're James Harden, maybe you could wait one more game and say, hey, I'll play game 6. And if you're the Nets and you got James Harden and Kevin Durant, you're like, hey, if we go into Milwaukee down 3-2, you can still win that game. It's not an elimination game, but it's also like, hey, if you win this game, you can kind of, you know, flip the script and get back control of the series.
I kind of want to see what KD would do by himself, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, that, you know, for dramatic reasons, it'd be much better for Kevin Durant to be at home tonight by himself.
Hey, Harden may still not play. You never know.
Yeah, he still might not.
Again.
Yeah. And then I think it is promising, though, that he tried out today and they haven't rolled him out and he said he felt good.
Yeah.
I'm sure they got a way to keep it warm and keep him ready in between now and the next, what, 6 hours?
You would think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it 7:30 tonight or 8:30? It's the only game, so I didn't know.
8:30,
yeah. I figured since it was the only game, they'd put it straight prime time.
How much you take away from KD if he doesn't get to the finals with this team? Let's just say at all. Like, his only championships would be the Warriors. Wouldn't you kind of look and be like, I mean, even if he does win the Nets with a full-loaded team, still don't feel as good, but... I'm curious what would be the mindset on KD because he's always been such a controversial player.
Yeah. Without Harden and Kyrie, I'd maybe give him a pass. I don't know. Again, I think it depends on how he plays. If he comes up and throws up 2 bricks and stinks, I think that's way different than if he has like 40 on like 60% shooting and just like, you know, it just ain't enough.
Yeah.
The rest of his guys don't hit shots. I mean, I think all that stuff matters. Durant's done enough in his career to show that he can, like, he's not scared of the moment, I think. Now, you know, there is questionable stuff, like, hey, I'm going to run out of OKC. Not only am I going to leave, but I'm going to go to a team that just won a championship the year before and won 73 games the year after.
Just lost to.
Yeah, who just beat us. Who we blew a 3-1 lead to, right? But I think there's always context. Like, I wasn't actually, like, crushing Luka for, like, losing that series as much as I was just kind of being sarcastic. But, B, I mean, I do think there is something he's going to have to change in his game. I do fully believe that about Luka. Like, I do think they're going to have to get the ball out of his hands a little bit. And some of that's roster, like, hey, get him another ball handler. But, like, I don't think you can win in the playoffs in the NBA with having the ball the entire time. So like, I wasn't joking about the Luka ball hogging stuff, but like calling him a loser, like he's young.
Yeah.
He'll win a couple playoff series eventually. Mm. Like Durant's already kind of proven that, but like, you know, Luka's numbers were fine. They were good. I don't think he deserves to get crushed for losing that series, but I do think you've seen like the conversation around that of like, hey, you're going to have to change the way you play a little bit. We're going to have to change this roster a little bit. With the Nets, if Durant folded, it'd just be like, hey, we'll run it back next year. It's kind of how I feel. Like, Durant's kind of proven himself as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know he's a good player.
But if you want to be like top 10 all time or top 5 all time and you want to be the best player in the league, like, I do think at some point you have to have a, like, let your nuts hang type of game. We've seen LeBron do that before.
Yep.
Even, you know, going back to, has Durant even had a moment like the 38 special? When, like, LeBron took that Cavs team and beat Detroit in a 2-2 in a game 5 when it was 2-2? Like, has Durant ever even had that moment? Am I missing it? Like, I'm sure he's had a couple against, like, the Grizzlies or something, like, that he's just completely taken over, but it's kind of telling there's not one that comes to mind, right? Like, what's Kevin Durant's biggest career moment? Hitting that three against LeBron?
In the finals.
In the final, up 2-0? Like, I mean,
right.
Like, is there one that stands out? Like, if I'm missing it, like, I'll admit it, but.
None come to mind for me.
Man, on the Thunder run of the finals, any.
That's what I'm asking. Like, was there one? Like, I mean, I know there had to have been one against the Grizzlies. Like, I mean, he had a. I'm looking at his game log now. I mean, against Game 7 against the Grizzlies, I want to say that was a series they also called him Mr. Unreliable. Maybe. I might be wrong on that one, on the year. But Game 7 against the Grizzlies, 39 points, 13 of 25 shooting. But they end up losing to the Mavericks the next round. Let's see. The next year, beat the Lakers in 5. Had good games. Nothing that stands out.
It was also an 8 seed. Grizzlies 2, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
In the original series.
That was the one that had. That Grizzlies team was better. They'd beaten the Spurs and they'd made it. I think a trade to get Shane Battier like during the year. I think that had kind of made them a peskier 8 seed. But you're right. It was just an 8 seed to beat. But to be fair, the Thunder were a 4 seed that were a little bit ahead of schedule. I forgot they went down 0-2 against the Spurs in 12.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of led by Harden, though, but game six, against the Spurs in a must-win game, 34 points, 14 rebounds, played all 48 minutes.
Okay.
9 of 17 from the field. That's a pretty good performance. Now, again, it didn't really stand out to you. Game one of the finals, 12 of 20, 36 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and then they lose the next 4.
He kind of shot away from the moment. Didn't he have some kind of poor games?
There's a couple of situations where like Westbrook was like trying to like will the team, and Durant was just kind of passive. But his numbers still looked good at the end of it. It wasn't like he laid a clunker. Like if you look at his playoff log, like he's what was the number we had? Like he's still like third all time scoring like points per game. Jeez. Didn't we have that when we did the Donovan Mitchell stat? Like we did the top six. Like wasn't Durant up there like in terms of like third or fourth all time like
right,
points per game in the playoffs? Like he's a good playoff performer, but there still doesn't seem to be that one moment.
Probably say the same thing for Harden too, though, right?
Oh, you could definitely say the same for Harden. Yeah. No, like Harden's, his shooting goes down, but that goes back to what I was saying about Luka. Like that's kind of what you see whenever a team just kind of can, hone in on one guy. It makes the rest of the team easier to guard. The problem was Harden wasn't even hitting his shots anymore. Like Harden was throwing up, 30% shooting. Wasn't getting to the free throw line as much. Is it just that moment where he hit the three? Over LeBron? Is that it?
I was say, I can't think of it. I really don't have anything that comes to mind. I can't think of any. Like, that's something I feel like, we got recycled on SportsCenter a ton if he had, a big shot or something, in a performance.
I know he can perform in the crunch time. Like I said, he's the third or fourth highest, points per game in the playoffs ever. But, I just don't know if he has the one moment that stands out. And maybe that's because you're in Oklahoma City and it's tougher to have those moments.
Yeah.
His two championship runs were, as Draven said, pretty easy with the Warriors. I mean, there wasn't really any moments where he sweat. He's been good in the clinching games. Western Conference semis, came back and beat that Clippers team. Game 6 had 39 points on 23 shots. So that's good. That Warriors game whenever they blew that 3-1 lead. Yeah, I mean, that's where it kind of went sideways for him, and I can understand why he left. They're up 3-1. He goes 12 of 31. Brutal. Still scores 40 points, they lose. 10 of 31, scores 29 points, they lose. In those two games, he combines to go 4 of 19 from the three-point line. Game 7, they lose. He goes 10 of 19, so plays a little bit better. But you're like, hey, man, shoot more than 19 times, which who knows? Maybe Westbrook shot 40 times.
Probably.
Draven's been right. He says Durant has to have a moment. It might be. Like, maybe tonight is the moment.
Ooh, we will see.
So you don't want James Harden to play?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
I want this to be more about KD.
Cam?
I would like to see KD go out there and kind of do it. I feel like he needs that narrative. But I think they have a better shot of winning if Harden's also out there. I'm not sure who I want next round, so I haven't really decided, you know, who I want to win the series. But
also, flip the tables, though. Like, how big is this for Giannis? Like, yeah, honestly, yeah, like, if you can't win this series, man, I don't know where you go from there, like, honestly.
I feel like that – I mean, honestly, I feel like that narrative has been shifted, like, already written about Giannis. Like, I don't
– No, yeah, if I agree. Giannis, to me, I like, this to me, would be, like, the last straw, sure. Just about, you know.
But to me, if Giannis wins this series, I'm not going to care. Really? Is that fair to say, like, if Giannis wins this series, especially, like, if Harden doesn't play tonight, like – I mean, you said it, Draven. This Nets team was clearly better than them when healthy, and even when they had two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you're calling it over after one game, saying it was going to be a sweep. Like, the fact that they come back and beat a team that is hobbled, do we really, like, change Giannis's narrative and legacy because of that? Now, I get what you're saying. If they lose, like, yeah, that could be the final straw. Like, hey, man, like, you got to completely change this team. But winning, like, is that going to mean he's somebody different because the team in front of him just kind of collapsed?
Probably not.
No.
What about winning it all this year? That would be
humongous. Winning
the East with a still Embiid hobbled up, you'd still probably kind of make that excuse as well, wouldn't you?
I would say it depends on what happens in the finals, but like he'd be the best player in the finals. I mean, they've been telling you he's the best player in the league the last 3 years. So I mean, him going up against Kawhi maybe would change if it's a Clippers team that you could look at and say, okay, there's actually another alpha on the team on the court better than him. But like Booker and Chris Paul or Donovan Mitchell and Gobert, like Giannis should be able to handle them. So it's kind of championship or bust now that, like, the pressure goes up now that the Nets are kind of hobbled, but he also doesn't get the reward unless he wins it all. So it's kind of a tangled web we are weaving here for him.
Yep.
Or now you look and you might be like, this guy can't be the number one option on a championship team. It's fun. To me, that's, you know, maybe the best part of the playoffs is, like, all the narratives you can look at and, you know, the legacies and stuff, you know, are on the line. I do think you're going to see a lot of complaining tonight. One of my locks, you can find on FanDuel, P.J. Tucker picks up two fouls in less than 5 minutes. They are going to call those fouls early whenever he is in Durant's jersey.
He just, every foul, no matter how obvious it is, he always has the same reaction.
Yep.
Just the hands up, just hands on the head. Yeah, just always so shocked. Even if he almost tackles him, like he's still just like shocked every time.
Got to be consistent.
I guess.
Got to be consistent.
More power to him, man.
It's like a poker. You got to have the same reaction every time. Like you can't start giving tells and tells away. So highest points per game in playoff history. Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Kevin Durant. Those are top three of all time. So again, I'm not saying he hasn't came through in the clutch. I'm not saying he hasn't came through in the playoffs. But does he have that one game you look to? Tonight could be it, with or without James Harden. And that's why I love the playoffs. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Interesting development in college football. We've been keeping an eye on the expansion that is coming. Right. We know the expansion is coming. Going to be a 12-team playoff. With that could come some changes to how the regular season and the conferences work. Draven, you said Pete Thamel has kicked around the idea, or at least reported that the idea is being kicked around, that divisions could be going away.
Yeah, divisions and conferences could be in the crosshairs, as he says. He says with more at-large bids at stake, leagues may find more urgency to put their two best teams in the league title game. Expect leagues to make a deep dive on that potential impact. So could have no more divisions.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be interested, I guess, to see how they decide to do the schedule then.
Right.
Like, would you just have to completely revamp it and almost similar to, I don't know, not necessarily the same as, you know, the pandemic year, schedule, but I guess just randomly cycle through all the teams every few years. I don't know how you would kind of set that up. Would you expand the conference games you play, lessen it? I feel like there's lots of options they can go in that direction, you know, different directions they can go in.
So they're trying to avoid basically a team getting an easier path now that there's an automatic qualifier.
Yeah.
Because like in the past with a four-game playoff, you know, basically let's say a 9-3 Georgia team upset, say, undefeated Alabama team, or maybe even an 8-4 Georgia team, or, you know, just any scenario where the ACC might be a better example, where you have a
Virginia.
Didn't you have like a 7-5 Virginia team or a 6-6 team at some point in there?
Yeah,
a 6-6 Georgia Tech team played Clemson 1 year, I feel like. But like that team upsets. Or in the Pac-12, that's happened a couple of times where the one division so much harder, you know, you get upset there and that team gets an automatic spot in the playoff.
Yep.
Basically, you can go there and not be anywhere near the top 12, win one game, and get locked in. The SEC might not be the best example because, again, like the teams that usually win the East and West are pretty comparable.
Good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Not always the two best teams, but usually like two of the top four teams at worst, right? Maybe not that Missouri, like when Missouri made it back-to-back years. That kind of felt fluky.
But I mean, they were like, what, 9-3 1 year? Yeah. 10-2 maybe?
Sure, I'm just saying, like, that was the only time you could really point to. Otherwise, it's been pretty even recently.
Yeah.
This kind of makes me think about the Big Ten, too, because you have the Big Ten East having Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State all in the same division.
Yeah, they definitely would.
And they're definitely the top three teams.
Yeah, good point. I didn't mention the Big Ten, but yeah, I mean, like, you know, Northwestern could, you know, win one game and get in. Wow. Now, usually, like, they would have been close enough last year, I think, to still be a top 12 team.
Mm-hmm. I think so last year, yeah.
But the differences are so big. Like, the divisions make it so much tougher, and the schedules aren't as balanced. So maybe this would just be like a make balance happen across college football conferences.
Yeah.
Oof. Maybe we can get rid of Alabama every year for our cross divisional. Like this.
You'd think you'd have to randomize it a little bit more every year almost.
I think there'd be a push, Cam, to make sure the schedules are as even as possible.
Mm-hmm. They'd keep those locks, though.
You think
those rivalries, I guarantee
it. You're probably
just keep that one and then, try to just rotate everything else.
But if if you get rid of divisions altogether, like maybe you keep three permanent rivals.
Yeah.
Like that's been the talk.
Yeah, you could do something like.
So like with Tennessee, I guess Tennessee's would probably still be Alabama, right?
It'd be
Alabama,
probably Bama, like Florida, Georgia.
Bama, Georgia, Florida.
I'd say put Vanderbilt in there being in state.
Vanderbilt or Kentucky, and then like Georgia maybe. Yeah.
I don't know because Georgia's rivals would be Auburn and Florida.
Yeah.
So I don't know like who their third would be. So
you could put South Carolina as their third, and that'd be similar to, you know, that. Yeah. Wow, we could make a schedule. We're good at this.
Yeah.
But – again, you probably have to focus on balance. And like I said, getting rid of the divisions. If you get rid of the divisions, there's no reason to keep those like same schedules every year like you would.
Yeah.
Would you like this as a college football fan?
I think it'd be interesting because I think a lot of people actually really liked the like all SEC stuff happened last year.
They liked it a lot.
So I think this would be kind of similar to that because you're just getting a bigger variety, I think, of SEC games. You're playing different schools that you maybe wouldn't play as frequently and stuff like that. And like you said, there's lots of people that, you know, hope we would get rid of the Alabama and stuff like that.
Well, it's a weird situation because I do think we have to acknowledge that we benefit from playing in the East.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
We haven't taken advantage of it, but yes. Yeah.
But I mean, we've taken advantage of it somewhat, like by staying afloat. Like even the years you win seven games, you get to getting to play Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt is usually a pretty good thing for Tennessee. And I know, like, you know, not always in the West that Mississippi State or Ole Miss or Arkansas are good, but I feel like all those teams have had moments more recently than Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Missouri. Maybe not Arkansas, but the other two. Missouri, what, won the East twice and like, what, 11-12? Is that it?
I think so. Haven't really done anything since.
Vandy, you know, Franklin, I guess, won 8 games a couple times. And Kentucky, I guess, has been.
They had the, 2 years ago, won 10 games.
Yeah. So compare that to what, Arkansas has been good in, 6 years? Mississippi State. How long ago was that with Dak? 15, right?
Yeah, 2015.
Ole Miss probably the best in 2015 too. So maybe they have been more comparable, but you know the top four has been better in the West for that time.
Yeah.
You know, LSU, A&M, and Auburn and Auburn and Alabama have been tougher than Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida.
Yeah. This will be interesting though.
I wonder what happens if the conference championships all of a sudden just have, you know, two West matchups though.
Yeah, people could get upset, but it's very possible, obviously.
Alabama, LSU.
Yep. And the Big Ten, I mean, if you're the Big Ten, you'd probably want to have, like, Ohio State, Penn State, right? Like, in Indianapolis. Like, that division over there doesn't give you any good matchups. I mean, Wisconsin's fine. Like, that's a good fan base that travels. But, like, that's not really a national game. Whereas if you get Penn State or Ohio State versus Michigan, that would be pretty good. Your three biggest brands are in the same division. I'd say that this gets done then, right? Who's lobbying against it? Like Wisconsin? Wisconsin, Northwest, like, nope, we got to keep this.
We're good.
All of the ACC, is it the Coastal Division? Whichever one's the bad one.
It's Coastal.
Yeah. Whichever one's the bad one. They're like, no, we're good. We don't need to do this.
So is this is just rumored for, like, all leagues, basically, or kind of looking at this? Okay.
Kind of the way he talked about it, yeah.
Okay.
Says, with more at-large bids at stake, leagues may find more urgency to put their two best teams in the league title game. Expect leagues to make deep dive on the potential impact. I guess the thought process there would also be like if you put your two best teams in there, the loss won't really hurt you and you're better off of getting a chance to put your at-large team in there.
Yep.
Versus if you just go out there and you have a team that's like top 8 or 9 and then they don't play that weekend because they finished second in their division.
And slide out of
They slide out of there.
Well, think about it for the SEC this past year. It would have been A&M. We got another crack at Bama instead of Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Which might have gone a long ways of getting both A&M and Florida still in the playoff as well, because Florida wouldn't have slid from, they were what, number like 5 or 4 whenever that game happened?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Or was it 6 or 7? I don't remember exactly where they were. But
they would have been up there, though. Like, they would have
Florida,
been
I mean, they had that loss to LSU pretty late in the season, so they might have been right around top 10, I'd still say.
I thought, though, am I wrong? I thought they were playing basically a playoff game against Alabama.
Yeah, no, they finished right outside.
I want to say they're like number 6, like behind A&M.
I saw the like hypothetical of like if this happened last year, like the 12 teams, I think Florida was in.
Which that might have been after the bowl game, you know, because they won the bowl game, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, they got killed in the bowl game. Never mind. They got killed by Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Losing to Alabama didn't hurt them much, so maybe they didn't slide, but, you know, it was hard to put a 3-loss Florida team in, I guess.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, this would be interesting. College football landscape may be changing.
Well, it's definitely changing. As early as, what, 2023, I think, is the date they're looking at. So two seasons from now. There's multiple scenarios to consider, writes Pete Thamel. Could a league's top-ranked team get upset by an 8-14 and end up with the league getting shut out? Also, could an upset allow two teams in the league to get in, much like the Clemson-Notre Dame scenario from the division last season? Yeah, that's kind of everything we just discussed.
Yep.
Championship games would be better.
Oh, yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah, yeah.
So we like this? 2 thumbs up?
Yeah, I'm in on this.
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay.
Why not? We've talked about, like, at least around with some of us, you know, college football's kind of lost its luster. Why not change some stuff up, you know?
Talking college athletics, the official bracket is set in Omaha. Ooh. Virginia able to beat Dallas Baptist yesterday. So they will play Tennessee Sunday, June 20th. So this upcoming Sunday at 2 p.m. on ESPN2.
You know, John, I was thinking about this game. Kind of had to let it settle in a little bit that, you know, we had a shot at national championship. But tell me if you guys disagree with this. Like, at this point, I don't think Tennessee fans have ever really been in this situation. But, like, it kind of feels like a win-win for us. Right? Like, let's say we do get bounced early. Like, it'd be a little disappointing because we are one of the favorites. We do have a lot of momentum.
Yeah.
But then again, you look back at the overall season, like, Tony V, what, 4th season, doing all this, having all this success. You have all these old veteran coaches. Like, what a year it'd be. And then, of course, if we make a run and we're all so hungry for that national championship, like, kind of feels like no matter what, we're going to still feel like a season was a
success,
pretty
much,
right?
I mean, yeah, you weren't supposed to be here, really.
Definitely.
Like, at least on this level.
When's the last time we've been in, like, a what feels like a win-win like situation like that. Like, it feels like no matter what happens, it's going to be pretty much a success.
Yeah. Maybe 2018 in college basketball, like you kind of have the season kind of come out of nowhere. Like when you got to the tournament, yeah. It felt like a win-win, but then you get beat by Loyola and the Final Four opened up so much. Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I don't think it's – I mean, like, we'll be able to remove ourselves from it and say it's a win-win, but, like, man, like, Tennessee should beat this Virginia team.
Yeah.
Like, Tennessee should come out of this bracket, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way they do it, they split it up between the top and bottom. So, like, Tennessee won't have to play Vanderbilt until the championship series.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you tell me that and I'm looking at the bracket, like, Tennessee should handle Virginia.
Yeah.
I think they should beat Texas. Like, I think they're the best team in this little quadrant between Tennessee, Virginia, Texas, and Mississippi State. Like, they're going to play their own little regional here. And, like, I think Tennessee should be able to advance to the championship series. Now, I'm not saying it's championship or bust, like, on being a successful season, but, like, this is going to hurt. I don't buy, like, it's a win-win. Like, it'll be, oh, well, all shucks, it's fine. Like, now that we're here, I think we should make the championship series. Tennessee had the second-best odds to win the World Series in the updated ones. Like I kind of told everybody, like, the Vanderbilt went back to being the title favorite. Mm-hmm. They're, like, plus 235, I think, to win, but Tennessee was hovering in second around, like, plus 350, if I'm not mistaken. So Tennessee is the favorite to come out of this foursome. So, like, that to me is, like, the official goal. Like, let's make the championship series. But again, yeah, like, we're not going to be upset if you lose and say, oh, man, blown season, wasted opportunity. But on the same hand, I do think it goes back to kind of what I said about the whole James Harden stuff. Like, you don't know that you're ever going to get back this close.
Yeah, especially with college baseball. Like, my goodness.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to win regionals and super regionals. I mean, look at Arkansas. You could have a dominant season, win the SEC, win the SEC tournament, and still get beat. Like, it's baseball. It's still hard to win these you know, two-game series, three-game series. I know Vitello's young. I know he's in, what, year five? Like, it seems like, hey, you got so much time here to win one, but, like, you might not.
Yeah.
This might be the one you have to win. It can go away pretty quickly. You might not ever be this close again. You're not guaranteed to make Omaha again. Like, I mean, the last time we made it was, what, 2005? We've had to wait 16 years for this opportunity. And again, I get that we have a coach that you feel great about. He's been an ace recruiter everywhere he's been. Like, I think he knows how to build a team.
Yeah.
But there's always a possibility that this could just be a special team that has, like, special personalities that are here and they're ready to go. Like, and it's just, you know, a perfect storm.
Yeah, kind of right. Kind of like Rick Barnes, I feel like we all thought, like, we'd get back, but it was like we're kind of thinking, like, maybe it was just Admiral Grant, just that special team that we had.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they still, you know, kind of left us a little disappointed.
Right. Like, you're not, like, only a few programs in college sports are guaranteed to, like, have another year. Like, we joke about it in college football, but, like, we know the three or four that are like, oh, yeah, we lost this year. We'll be back next year. College basketball, there's a couple that feel like, oh, yeah, we'll be in the mix every year, but that could change pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We're close.
Imagine.
This might be the best chance we ever have the rest of our lives, boys. I mean, to get a Tennessee championship.
To get a Tennessee championship. I'm still young.
In the
I'm
big three
young,
sports?
John.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say. Yeah.
I'm talking about, the big three sports. I mean, the ones they put on TV. I mean, I know it's not fair to the other sports, but.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. I mean, I didn't see the.
One that people will see nationally.
Did we win an Addy in, like, tennis?
One doubles.
Doubles.
A thing, that's what they told us, at least.
We
win
a lot
somewhere.
Of stuff in a lot of small sports.
It was streaming somewhere. I didn't see it on ESPN anywhere. Yeah, like, I didn't see any coverage of it, so I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
You say you're young, but, I mean, like, I won a championship when I was 8, bro. I ain't got one since.
Jesus.
God.
I mean, hey.
I wasn't even a Tennessee fan when it happened with me, I guess, was 3.
I guess Pat got us one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Pat got us a couple, like, after that, but, like, again, depends on how much you care. I mean, I did care about Candace Parker. No, I mean, I cared about those teams, but it wasn't like you could really, like, celebrate and talk trash to people.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, we got that women's basketball national championship. What you going
to
do?
I'm not even, like, putting down women's basketball. I just don't know any other women's basketball fan that I'm not going to talk to. Like,
yeah.
I guess I can call UConn, I guess. I mean, I don't know. This might be your only chance, Draven. This might be as close as you ever get.
It's just honestly sad, but. Now it feels even more pressure.
It's hard to win championships, man.
I know. I get it. I get it.
So, like, I think Tennessee needs to beat Virginia. If they win game 3, at 2 p.m. on Sunday. They will play Tuesday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. on ESPN2. The winner of Tennessee-Virginia plays the winner of Texas and Mississippi State.
Mississippi State slid by yesterday as well, beat Notre Dame.
Yeah. So then I think at that point, then it gets a little confusing. So then at that point, they'll go, starting on Wednesday, they'll go to one game per day, which makes it so hard to be out in Omaha and try to like watch these games.
Yeah, really.
So like Tennessee, let's just say they win both their games. When will they play again? Like Saturday, basically? Friday? Hell, who knows?
I think it, I don't know.
I know like the middle of the week is like the loser bracket games.
Right.
So like if Tennessee goes 2-0, they'll get like a nice little 3 or 4 day break. Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.